This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
What's the top of the hour, America? How you doing? Bill Martinez here. And boy, I'll tell you, the buzz is all about the travel ban and Trump's travel ban. And today the court will deal with it and decide what are they going to do about the appeal that the United States is putting up on behalf of the president. Judge Napolitano had this to say last night on Fox News.
Judge, what's going on here?
Well, we have a federal district court judge in Seattle who basically second-guessed the president on the wisdom and propriety of the president's executive order, and that is absolutely not the job of federal judges in our society. The law on which Donald Trump, President Trump, relied is crystal clear, a 1952 statute which says, just as John Roberts read from the government's brief, that the president of the United States has the authority to suspend any immigration of an individual or a group or a class of people for public health, public safety, or national security. It's not the president and the courts. It's not the president and the Congress. It's the president alone.
But those who are opposing him are saying that they are paying more attention to the 1965 law, which says that the president or the country can't discriminate against immigrants based on race, nationality, or place of birth.
Correct. So the president, well, the president can discriminate on the basis of geography if he makes a finding that people from a geographical area are more likely than not to contain people to harm us.
Which is probably what President Obama used when he did it, right?
Correct. And the president can always discriminate for a short period of time in order to put in place more stringent vetting procedures where people will be identified and examined on an individual rather than on a group basis, which is basically what President Trump said in that executive order.
So tomorrow night we're going to hear an hour of argument on this.
Yes.
And then when do you expect we'll get a decision? And does it go to the Supreme Court?
I think we'll get a decision on Wednesday because this is a court that is required to write its decisions. And I think they know that the losing side is going to appeal to the Supreme Court. My view is the president is so much in the right. The states are so much in the wrong. They don't even have the standing to sue, meaning they can only sue if they've been harmed and they haven't. They are claiming that people that live in those states are harmed, and it's the obligation of those alleging harm to sue. But if the Justice Department wins and the states of Washington and Minnesota appeal to the Supreme Court, I don't think the Supreme Court will hear it. But if the states win and the Justice Department appeals to the Supreme Court, I think the Supreme Court will hear it because the Supreme Court is interested in the orderly administration of governmental function. And this is profoundly disorderly for a single federal judge to stop the president from examining people with more care as they enter the country.
All right. Judge, thank you.
You're welcome.
If we get more breaking news.
Well, that's why we like Judge Napolitano, as he breaks it down pretty simple. But are you following the bouncing ball here and just how complicated this can be? Really not. But progressives are doing everything they can. And this activist judge, though he was appointed by Bush, but H.W., but what you have to realize is that this was a quid pro quo kind of, appointment. Nancy Pelosi's hand-picked individual that was done. So, you know, that kind of gives you, you know, a little bit of the basis. The other thing is what the left is holding on to here was early on when this was framed and this, you know, and we're going back to the campaign, Donald Trump, you know, erred a little bit in saying that it was going to be, you know, he wanted to vet, you know, these Muslim nations. And so this is what, like a dog on a bone, these leftists are holding on to, is they're holding on to that rhetoric, not what has been said and clarified since. And certainly when you're talking about a small percentage, you know, somewhere 8-12% of Muslim countries being affected here. It's clearly not a targeted ban for Muslims, but they're insisting that that's the case. Because the other thing is, too, it's anybody from it. Anybody from these problem areas. And it's clear. You'll understand a little bit more, too, in just a moment. We're bringing Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute, and he'll be with us to clarify it even further as the discussion continues.
Honey? What is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
And it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be up to me and you. This is it. We've got to insist our constitutional right. I mean, it's God-given. It's clearly pointed out there in the Constitution. This is a government of, for, and by we the people. That means we're in charge, but we haven't been exercising that authority, and the elites are happy to take over it, and look where they got us now here. All twisted knots, and they're happy to keep us this way and exercise. And meanwhile, the business of getting this country back on track, moves on, the need for it, and we're losing some time here. With us right now is Brad Dacus, as I mentioned. Brad is the founder of the Pacific Justice Institute, and it's always good to have you with us, Brad. How you doing, sir?
Oh, doing great, Bill. Thank you.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about this travel ban that both sides are lined up pretty clearly. I mean, those on the right say we've got an activist judge doing something he's not supposed to do. Those on the left saying, well, no, he's read it exactly right. The president in his campaign talked about a Muslim travel ban. So it's a religious, a test here that he put out there. It is not as he says it is, even though everybody involved in these seven countries are being temporarily banned from coming to the United States. And, oh, yes, I believe it was clearly stated, even in the vow that he took, it is his inauguration, saying that he would protect the security of the citizens, and that is, as most would understand, based on the Constitution, is job one for the President of the United States, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is, Bill, and it's interesting because it's one thing for the media to engage in the spin game of trying to call it something it's not, a ban on Muslims. It's quite another thing, and very, very irresponsible, I might add, for a federal judge, an activist federal judge, to play the same script. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this judge has done. The fact is, first, historically, our country has had different policies, for different countries. With regards to those coming into our country for different reasons, and national security has been one of those factors that comes into play. Mm-hmm. Number two is President Trump has been very clear that it was radical Muslims, terrorist Muslims, who do dangerous things to this country. It wasn't all Muslims. And in addition, those countries that have travel bans, as temporary travel bans, were red flagged not by Trump, but by his predecessor, before President Barack Obama's administration, red flagged these countries, and the majority of the Muslim countries do not have travel bans on them, including the largest, most populated Muslim countries like Egypt and Indonesia and Pakistan. Mm-hmm. So this is just a red herring for a political spin that I'm confident will be overturned by the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. if necessary.
Well, his legal order is based on 8 U.S. Code 1182, as you and I were talking about last night. And this is the statutory provision that requires the president to give a reason for suspending visas. Such reasons can include anything from individuals having spreadable diseases to them posing a risk to the American public safety. Is this not the case?
Yeah, and that's exactly what he's done. He's clearly met that federal criteria. And from a constitutional perspective, the other side's arguing, well, they violated the Constitution. The country he's engaging in, violation of equal protection or group because of their religion or suspect group. And yet the fact remains that is not what he's doing. Number one, and that the issue is not banning any religious group, because he's not. Mm-hmm. It's people coming from particular countries that have a high terrorist risk to this nation. Mm-hmm. So he has that. So the standard is, from a constitutional perspective, since you're not banning a group that's a whole suspect class, the standard is rational basis. And he clearly has articulated a rational basis when it comes to the protection and safety of the United States of America.
Well, President Obama and the previous administration had cited these seven nations, as you say, a rational basis, because these are either failed or failing states. And people hear that and they go, okay, what does that mean? That means the infrastructure, their administrative infrastructure, is in disarray. That means that you don't know who it is you're dealing with. You don't have a database you can go to. There isn't anybody in government you can go to and say, hey, Brad Dacus wants to get in this country, and this is who he says he is. Is that in fact true? There's nobody to say, yes, in fact, Brad Dacus was born in this part of the province. He has done this. He's accomplished this and this sort of thing, and this is what he did in this country. So now you can make a little bit of a judgment at this point now, and probably in many cases, and this has been problematic and has made us vulnerable. And this is why also we have, 1,000 open investigations for terrorist activities in every state of the union right now, is because the previous administration was rather lax about this. And Main Street America kind of got it. And they understood this to be the case, wondering, wait a minute, why are we having these terrorist attacks? Why is our president, who is supposed to be watching out for our national security, why is he appearing so lax about it? And the people said in November, we can't have this anymore, and we want Donald Trump to be the guy.
Exactly. If the other side could point to other countries that were a greater terrorist risk, that had a different motivations, a different kind of religious zealots or something, and but they can't. The fact is, these are the most dangerous countries to our U.S. national security in the world. Mm-hmm. It's indisputable that risk is there. That risk is clearly established. The federal law gives the president the authority to consider that risk in making decisions regarding who can come into this country. This decision is very clearly substantiated by even the former administration. And I just think that it's sad to see, obviously, again, our federal courts play this role in politics, this kind of gamemanship and spinning that, once again, is something that we know we've seen it plenty in the press. Mm-hmm. But I have no doubt. I'll say, Bill, I have no doubt that this will be overturned. And the sooner the better.
Exactly. Well, as you say, there is precedent, According to AP, dating back as far back as 1882 with the Chinese Exclusion Act, 1924, President Calvin Coolidge signed the Johnson-Reed Act. You had President Bill Clinton talking about tightening up the border and being, more vigilant about the people who came into this country and threatened us. And also Barack Obama, and in between, more president well-established and acted upon. So clearly this is within the purview of the president, but it's all part of this anti-Trump sentiment that I believe is blinding justice in a negative way. But we'll see how this plays out. More from Brad Dacus on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. 15 after.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Hi, my name's John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watched several YouTube videos of Stephen Hewer's and learned what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, and 600 products from Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last.
when September ends.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, whether it's any one of the 280-plus affiliates we have online, or whether you join us via shortwave around the world, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Brad Dacus continues with us. It was back in 1997. Boy, it sounds like, you know, ancient history, Brad. Brad founded Pacific Justice Institute, where he serves as president and continues to defend religious liberties and parental rights, served as legislative assistant to U.S. Senator Phil Graham, went on to coordinate religious freedom and parental rights cases throughout the western United States. And we're talking about the temporary travel ban. The court will be hearing later on today the case of whether or not the president's temporary travel ban, if it's just, if he has standing as the president of the United States. I talk whether it's Brad Dacus as an attorney, and others see that he has. Judge Napolitano chimed in earlier this morning as well, saying that definitely the president has standing. There is question whether or not the other interest has standing, because they haven't been directly injured on this, Brad. There is just a projection, and there's been, as you stated earlier, some assumption kind of a little bit of a leap here, a judicial leap that was taken by this activist judge out of the state of Washington.
Oh, yeah. And I want people to understand that the extent that we're talking about as far as judicial leap, because I think standing is just part of it, in that, we're talking not only about a judge that is going against the statutory language, going against the past actions of government lack of case law as far as the constitutional case law to support it. But we're also talking about a judge that that really doesn't have the proper plaintiffs, for that matter. I mean, it's long held that individuals who simply don't like government or don't like what government's doing do not have an inherent right to, as a mere taxpayer, to suddenly march into court and challenge what the federal government's doing. Mm-hmm. Yet that's what this case is attempting to do. That's what the plaintiffs are attempting to do, and this judge is giving into it.
Right.
I think it is definitely unusual in a number of areas. And I think standing is for the opposition is a real legitimate issue and question that this could end up coming down to.
But Brad, what you point out is something that has been developing, probably more aggressively in the last decade, I think we might agree on, and that is that when people have a problem, they don't want to go through due process. You know, their due process, hey, we want to get this over with quick, so we're going to take it, you know, to the courts, we're going to take it to a circuit court, and even better yet, if we can get the Supreme Court to rule on it. And this has made the court, arguably, it's almost redefined what the intent of the courts are supposed to be used for because of this activism. Isn't that so?
Oh, yes. If we have the right judges, the judges who don't try to change the law, they don't try to change the Constitution, they're bound by case law and case precedent. And if that was the case here, this would never have happened. Mm-hmm. So we have a real problem. For the last 8 years, we've had a lot of incredible number of activist judges appointed to our federal courts in an unprecedented way. And prior to Obama coming into office, we only had one circuit in the United States that was dominated by liberal activist judges. Now we have nine circuits dominated by liberal activist judges. That's very alarming.
Yeah, and the idea that they hold to is one that the president had espoused, and that is that the document, we're talking about the U.S. Constitution, is a breathing document, and it can be reinterpreted based on the times and the culture at that moment, and not, as Judge Scalia would say, as an originalist saying, no, we need to go back and understand what the original intent was of the framers of the Constitution, right?
Right. The political winds of the day and the cultural winds of bias of the day are the last things that should be deciding what is constitutional. It should be what does our Constitution say? What was it intended to say based on original intent? And that's it. That should be the end of the discussion. And any judge or justice that cannot abide by that should be disqualified from continuing to be able to serve.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, the founders of the Constitution did not foresee such tyranny on what they saw at the time as the weakest branch of government, which has now become actually the strongest branch of government as usurped those powers. And we're paying the price for it in times like now with this kind of judicial activism.
Well, and yes, and that's exactly the idea here, Brad, and I'm glad you brought that back into focus, and that is that the framers intended this to be the least of the three branches of government, and it's been turned upside down, and because it has, boy, the personality, the importance of the Supreme Court, the activism of the Supreme Court is now more in play and significant. And the ironic thing about this, Brad, is that, you know, here it is, people on the left will claim foul when there's not a proper vote count, or there seems to be any kind of discrepancy that works according to their agenda, you know, kind of like, what happened in California with the Marriage Act. I mean, you had 8 million votes that were vacated by one activist judge out in the Bay Area. And I didn't hear anybody from the left crying foul on that.
Right. It's sort of like changing the rules of the game when they realize there's just, you know, the game's over and yet they change. They say, no, we want more time on the clock.
Right.
We're going to change the rules. And yet that's what I think our country has sort of become numb to. We're just sort of used to it to a great degree. But I think part of that frustration was reflected in this last presidential election when the number one concern, the big issue, was the future of our courts. I think people have come to grips with the need for us to reform our courts with people who are not activists, but really uphold to their oath, which is to protect and abide by the Constitution of the United States.
Well, if there's but this is what the country needs to decide and be more declarative about, and that is that we cannot look at the Constitution. I mean, we have to be determined to hold to the value of what it was our founding fathers, what their intent was. You know, this has been a slow, kind of evolving process, and this goes back to, as you know, Brad, this goes back to the institutions that teach law, that certify attorneys, put them on the playing field here. And it would seem the predominant thought is more consistent with what President Obama said, not what Antonin Scalia says.
Yes, you're absolutely right, and that's the real rub here. That's the real concern. And what people need also realize is that we're not just talking about theory. We're talking about, for example, in this situation, real results impacting real people potentially in not just an inconvenient way, but in a fatal way when we're talking about protecting national safety, national security. I'm hoping that someone is keeping track of who is coming to our country while this is happening. And if any of those individuals committed terrorist activity, we could at least publicly hold that judge accountable, because the blood of the victims will be clearly on his hands. He's done it in the name of political activism at the expense of the national security and the protection of the people.
Well, I could only hope that that would be the case in terms of being able to hold people accountable. We don't do a very good job of that. We got $20 trillion in debt, and our government has been spinning out of control for an extended period of time. We can only hope and pray that we would gain some sobriety through all this and get back to, our founding moorings, Brad Dacus. Again, we thank you so much for coming on and breaking this down for us, and we'll see what the court says this afternoon, 29 minutes after.
Brought to you by the American Egg Board's Egg Nutrition Center. Eggs have been the cornerstone of a healthy breakfast for generations, and for good reason. Eggs are an all-natural source of high-quality protein, with one large egg containing 6 grams protein, 13 essential vitamins and minerals, all for 70 calories. February is Heart Health Month, and eggs can be a perfect addition to your heart-healthy lifestyle. A recent study from the Journal of the American College of Nutrition shows that eating one egg a day reduces the risk of stroke by 12%. Additionally, the Journal of Nutrition suggests that eating up to 3 eggs a day does not increase markers associated with heart disease risk in healthy adults. A new study from Purdue University indicates adding whole eggs to a salad increases vitamin E absorption. Why is that important? Vitamin E is important for the proper function of many organs in the body, including the heart. So next time you dress up your salad, put an egg on it. For more amazing egg facts, visit www.eggnutritioncenter.org.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
Show the mercy shown to you. Gifts of kindness to renew. Love from heart that's pure and true. Oh, children come. Oh, children come. Oh, children come.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, that's me. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Good to have you along with us. Well, I'll tell you, the truth is just that important. And, you know, somebody's got to take a stand for it. We have been doing this now for 8+ years. In fact, a little bit later on this week, get an opportunity to talk to somebody I've been trying to meet with for over 8 years. And that's Dr. Del Tackett. Dr. Del Tackett is associated in part, in many ways, with Focus on the Family. And to me, he had was part of the production of the Truth Project. And I don't know if you ever had a chance to get in front of that yourselves. Highly recommend it, even all these years later. It is a powerful, powerful series. And it was life-changing for me and life-defining in many ways. And it's what encouraged me to pursue the truth and hold on to it and realize just how important it is and how casual our country has become about the truth that we have, we live in, you know, Sam, we kind of live in an area of relativity where, you know, truth is relative and it's not absolute. And because of that, because it's relative, then it becomes politically correct. It, you know, we miss the mark on it. And it's very costly. Well, I believe we do this. We deny the truth and ignore the truth at our own peril. You know, what do you think?
Definitely. I think one problem, too, is like the immediate availability of a lot of information. Everybody's trying to rush to be the first one with a story. So right. They don't always check things as closely as they should have. So, but once the information's out there, you can't really take it back. You know,
exactly.
Once the story's said, you can't unsay it. You can retract it, but that doesn't mean it's going to stop it from being believed by people who read it in the first place.
Yeah, and I've never seen a retraction have as much impact as the original statement. There's a lot to be said about, you know, to your point, there's a lot to be said about what comes first. And the other thing, it feeds into our own cultural appetite for immediacy. You know, we say often that on the show, we are the microwave generation. We stand in front of the microwave and yell, hurry up, you know. And when you think about that, it's just like, you know, whether it has to do with due process, anything that is scholarly, you know, it's not about it. You know, like you say, you rush out there to, you know, put out the information. But is it right? Is it verifiable? Have you done your due diligence to make sure? But anyway, that's a whole other topic, and I'm getting us off track here just a bit here. But again, relevant to the truth in our pursuit of it, this is why we are so passionate about pursuing the truth. Because look, if we're going to make choices, we want to make them based on the facts, right? I think we make better decisions based on that. Anyway, we've got the purveyor herself of Sam's Corner on Bill Martinez Live, the one, the only Samantha Mills Mao. Mrs. Mao shows up every week, just like clockwork. I mean, you're more faithful than Punxsutawney Phil. You know, whether you see your shadow or not, you're here, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate you.
Oh well, thank you. I love being on here, and I love interviewing with you. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, Sam, and it's all Sam's fault because she says, you know, hey, we had to look at these viral videos, you know, and let's talk about them. And, of course, we bring her on every week, and she scours high and low looking for these viral videos that are just, you know, many are just so sweet. And it kind of reconnects us with our humanity to realize that everything isn't all about Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump and all this other stuff, that there's actually some fun things here. And also, I think some provocative things like this lead story that you have titled Get Off Your Phone. Huh? How many people do you see on the phone causing problems? And, you know, of course, any more law enforcement, one of the first questions they ask in any kind of automobile accident was, where was the person's cell phone? The cell phone seems to be a central part of a lot of the problems that we have on the roadways. Now, this particular story comes from a daycare's new sign for parents that's going viral. Tell us about that, Sam.
That's right. This is down in Houston, Texas. Juliana Ferris, Merzekowitz actually saw a sign at the daycare, and it says, you're picking up your child. Get off your phone. You know, your child is happy to see you. Mm-hmm. Are you happy to see your child? We have seen children trying to hand their parents work, and the parent is on the phone. We mm-hmm. keep hearing mommy, 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 and the child, the parents pay more attention to their phone, so they want their parents to get off the phone. And this is actually just a picture, but it absolutely went viral on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of people were just like, you know what, you're right. Like, I think people do it without even realizing it.
Exactly.
And we used to not have cell phones everywhere. I mean, I'm 31 years old, and we didn't have cell phones growing up. And, you just called people when you got home. It's like, leave your phone in your car.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it resonated with a lot of parents. Some people thought it was a little bit controversial because they're saying that you shouldn't tell parents what to do. But it really takes 5 or 10 minutes to walk up and pick up your child, and it can make a huge difference to them. You're just focusing on them instead of the phone.
And what does that tell your child? I mean, it's like you're picking them up like a bag of potatoes or something. You know, they're just like, hey, you're kind of in the way of my phone call. You're my kid, so I got to pick you up. You make the child feel less than. But that's a very appropriate poster, and kudos for them for doing that and reminding all of us, you know, as to what's more important. Because the culture, as you say, has become so casual about it. I mean, see people at, you know, lunches, dinners, and that sort of thing, their family members, and they're more glued to the phone than they are in having a conversation with their loved one right across the way. I mean, how goofy is this?
That's right. My aunt actually took up cell phones at Thanksgiving this year because she wanted us all to actually interact and, you know, like have a conversation. And, you know, I'm glad she did because I think it really got the conversation
going. It's kind of comical. I've heard some stories where people, you know, had their phones taken away and they didn't know what to say. they said, oh, fine, get your phones back. You guys are all retarded. If I can say that, that's terrible, quote unquote. Anyway, let's talk about this blind woman who regains her sight after visiting relics at a Phoenix church. Wow.
Okay, so this sounds almost unbelievable, but Daphne Gutierrez, actually, she's down in New Mexico, and she went to this Catholic church to see a relic. She's 31 years old, mm-hmm. and she'd gone blind in her right eye back in 2015 and her left eye back in 2012. She has something called benign atrilateral hypertension, and it's basically like the nerves in the mm-hmm. eye were being strained and she wasn't able to see.
Wow.
And she heard about this relic down at the Maronite Catholic Church, and she went to see it and prayed over it, and the next day her eyes started burning, and within like 3 days she has 20/20 vision.
Unbelievable.
And it's been reported all across the media. It's just unbelievable. I mean, the church attendance is up, and, you know, people, I'm sure, will question the legitimacy of it. But, you know, she has doctors that have seen this happen, and there's no medical explanation for it. And it's just a miracle. And, you know, it's good to be able to believe in miracles sometimes, especially
without a doubt. In much the same way, the blind man who he couldn't figure it out either. All he knew is he ran into Jesus. Now he could see, and the rest is history, right? And meanwhile, the rest of the people thought they were so smart, they're left in a quandary. they're still mystified in their wonderment. This flight attendant notices a terrified teenage girl. She finds a secret note in the restroom. Ooh, what's this about?
That's right. Sheila Frederick was working on Alaska Airlines, flying from Seattle to San Francisco, and she just noticed a young woman who looked kind of disheveled. But the guy she was really well-dressed, and when she went to approach them, the gentleman actually, you know, kind of kept the girl quiet so she couldn't talk. And anyway, so Sheila ends up passing the girl a note, and the girl says she needs help, and Sheila gets the pilots, and they rescue this girl. She was being trafficked, and thank God that we had a very observant flight attendant.
Exactly.
On that flight.
Hey, and Sam, one more real quick, okay, because we got about 20 seconds left. This random act of kindness leads to a homeless man's reunion with his family?
That's right. Okay, so Bev, a woman in England, actually left money at a coffee shop so that this man that she saw on the streets could eat. And when the coffee shop had reached back out to her, she realized she knew the man's family, and they were able to reconnect.
Wow.
They drove all the way there, within 24 hours.
Hey, this and all the other stories, go to Sam's Corner, BillMartinezLive.com. You know, get yourself encouraged. You'll enjoy it.
This is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Had it been the sweet Paris air permeating the night? The intoxicating way her beauty had overtaken him? Whatever the case back then, Jordan Dunleavy is still in love with the memory of Lauren, the woman he'd lost so many years before. In Bookstore on the Seine, the journey of a conspiracy analyst, author C.L. Hendman, ties conspiracy theories, mystery, irony, and romance into this stimulating novel that masterfully interweaves the past with the present. Available on Amazon and Kindle and at bookstoreontheseine.com. That's S-E-I-N-E.com. bookstoreontheseine.com.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live. Bill Martinez live.
Take this away like me, fresh every day. Coming at you 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Lieutenant Randy Sutton is with us right now. He's national spokesman for Blue Lives Matters and a retired police officer who served with the Las Vegas Metro Police Department for 24 years. Randy, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. It's great to be with you, Bill.
Hey, real quick, I want to get your read on this situation. President Trump's temporary ban that he put out a week ago last Friday that has everybody twisted in knots. An activist judge out of Washington, D.C. saying, no, this is not right. He's put a temporary halt to it. The Ninth Circuit is going to hear the case this afternoon and determine if the president was able to act according to his constitutional right, which, you know, to me, at least, and I think myself and most Main Street Americans look at this and say, well, I thought his job was to protect the national security of the citizens of America. I mean, clearly that's job one, just because we've had a president that didn't quite, you know, think that that was important enough. We now have one that does, and boy, they're in a quandary in this. So hopefully we get a reaffirmation and clarity of understanding on this particular topic.
I hope so as well. I mean, as you said, this is really causing a great deal of consternation throughout the nation. I mean, you have one court ruling one way, another car ruling another way. This particular judge, however, came out at a previous court case involving Black Lives Matter, and came out as from the bench, publicly supporting Black Lives Matter, which is, as you know, is a hate group.
Right.
It's a hate group that calls for violence against law enforcement. And when that happened, I mean, he created quite a stir in the law enforcement circles. And so I think that shows a little bit of his mindset.
Well, yeah, he's been rather clear and exposed on this. That was just one. And it came out again. And, you know, I think the opportunity for America, as we're waking up in Main Street, and the forgotten man and woman is waking up to the reality of what this country has evolved into, is starting to see these discrepancies. You know, the point that you make is that you have one, you know, court or judge looking at it one way and another way. And the question is, why isn't there some consistent standard? But it seems like we have these dynamic polls that are pulling at one another. One says that, you know, you need to be an originalist as a judge, which you do not legislate from the bench, which is contrary to what's been happening and how it's evolved in the court system going back, you know, even to the early 70s, as evidenced with Roe v. Wade, which was clearly, you know, legislation that was adjudicated, you could say, in some instances, even with Obamacare, with what happened with Justice Roberts, you know, that could be questioned. So that has been on display, and you see that tension on one end of activist judges, and they think they're very much acting within the stated purpose of the laws and what they understand, this idea that the Constitution is elastic, that, you know, what the Founding Fathers had intended could be reinterpreted based on the times and the mores of the culture, you know, as they evolved. And then you have the originalists, like those represented by Antonin Scalia, the former iconic justice, that said, no, you got to go back to what the Founding Fathers said and what the original intent was. So that dynamic tension is existing today, and it would seem in more cases than not, we have more activists than originalists. And I think that is the problem. And that is even in the judgment of Congress looking at the Supreme Court justice in Gorsuch, what, you know, Nancy Pelosi and those on the left would refer to as mainstream. You know, is Gorsuch a mainstream justice? Well, what do they mean by mainstream? You know, that's my question to them.
You want the most brilliant minds that you can have on the Supreme Court. It's literally the most vital court in the country. And Mr. Gorsuch seems to be an ideal pick for that bench. And, you know, this case is definitely headed to the Supreme Court. And so that's where it's going to be decided. And clearly to me, the president has the right to do exactly what he did, but that's my opinion. It doesn't
right.
count for much.
Well, we're all part of it. I mean, the fact of the matter is it should count, because this is a government up for by we the people. But if we sit there and just allow this to pass by, you know, again, we just get deeper and deeper in confusion. And, you know, we need to hear these voices to say, no, this is the standard in which we want to live under. We want to live under the U.S. Constitution, not Sharia law. We want to live under the authority that is well established by, you know, by the Constitution, in much the same way like a law enforcement officer does, Randy. Wow. As you know, look, when you get pulled over and you've broken the law, you just get a ticket. I mean, we really don't need to have a big discussion about it. Hey, you broke the law. That's what I saw. Here it is. Here's the due process. Sign here. You can go to court and plead your case if you disagree. That's just the way it is. And it should be the same way in our court systems, don't you think? That, you know, here's the law. This is the interpretation of the law. It's clear. It's black and white. You know, we don't need to get into all the nuance and, you know, that you needed a safe place or that you were abused as a child or whatever. You broke the law. And so, and here's the consequences. And, you know, yes, you've got some nuance at a certain level in due process, but You know, there shouldn't be any big discussion, but we decide to make room for a big discussion, hence accommodation. And with each accommodation, we violate the original principles of what the law was put in place to begin with, don't we?
Well, I personally find it very offensive for a judge to be a quote activist, unquote. That's not his job to lecture people on his own set of morality and what he thinks. He should be interpreting the law, and that's the judge. That's the role of a jurist.
Exactly. Well, I wanted to talk to you particularly about what's happening in Stuart, Florida. I'm in California, and Stuart, Florida is right nearby where I'm based at most of the year. But been here on the West Coast, you know, visiting family and, of course, continuing to do the show here. And I was disturbed to hear the story. And, you want to talk about this as well, as the pig mayor, she's referred to, Eula Clark, was forced out as mayor and refuses to resign as commissioner. Explain to the audience the story behind all this.
Yeah. Now, Eula Clark is, besides being fairly newly appointed mayor, there's city commissioners, and from those commissioners, a mayor is chosen. She was the mayor of Stuart, Florida, and she is also an attorney, by the way. And she was in a convenience store, and she saw a uniformed police officer. Now, this is a police officer who actually works for her, for the city of Stuart. And he was in line getting some food or something, and she publicly said, I didn't know we were serving pig tonight. Oh. And in full, you know, hearing of all of the customers and the people working there, and of course the police officer too, who had the temperament to just walk out and report it to his supervisors, and it went crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally, on my Facebook post that I put out and then Blue Lives Matter put out, we got thousands and thousands of comments, and we directed people to contact the city, and boy, they did. You know, the American people are starting to really take these type of insults towards law enforcement personally, and many people did, in fact, put a lot of pressure on her, and every one of the commissioners demanded her to step down from her position of mayor as a result of it. And as you said, though, she's elected to the commission. And unless there is a recall, she can maintain that position.
Well, and Governor Rick Scott, doesn't he have a say on this?
I believe from what I read that he can remove her, either 10% of the population has to vote for a recall, or the governor can, in fact, remove her. And I think he should. I mean, what she has done, and she gave some just stupid little excuse and said, I just want to move on from this. Well, of course you want to move on.
Of course you do.
Because you got caught.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. You know what? It was probably what we call in policing an excited utterance. Mm-hmm. Which is the truth. You know, it's she was saying something that she believed.
Right.
And of course, when she said it, was like, uh-oh. But that was her mindset at the time when she said it. Yeah, that's how she thought of a police officer as a pig.
Right. Well, it's one thing if the utterance comes from an everyday citizen. But as a mayor, you're held to a higher degree of morality and conduct. And for her as the mayor to do this as an officer and as a noted position as a commissioner for her city to represent and speak out like that, that is unacceptable. And I got to tell you, I'm surprised that, you know, 10% of the Stuart constituency can't seem to get together to have her removed as commissioner. I mean, this needs to make a statement, and the people need to take a stand against this kind of irresponsible speak, because this is what's happening more and more in our country, and it is forming opinion, it is forming viewpoint and worldviews that I believe leads us down a dangerous path. Randy Sutton, as always, good to have you with us. Thank you, sir.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. Research thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.